Samanta Chakkavalesu Aptra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagamokhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa Tassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa Buddham Saranam Gacchami Dhammam Saranam Gacchami Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Yesterday, we have talked about three types of feelings, and from three types of feeling, it extends to five types: physically unpleasant, or mentally displeasure, or physically pleasant and mentally pleasure, plus the last one, neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. So there are five types. And the characteristic of feeling is to feel, it felt, it feels. So whenever you feel pleasant or unpleasant, it just feeling feels. And we, as an instructed wording, we understand feeling is not a self. Feeling is neither self or mind or belong to me. And the function, the characteristic of feeling, feels. And the function of feeling is experiences the desired aspect of the object, or experiences undesirable aspect of the object, or experiences the neither desirable nor undesirable aspect of the objects. So let us review it a bit. What are the objects mentioned in the teaching of the Buddha? What are the objects?
Objects.
How many objects we have?
Six.
Six. What are the six? Visible object. Sound, smell, taste, tangible, and mental object. All these six objects have their desirable aspect of flavor, or desirable, a flavor of desirable, or undesirable aspect, or neither desirable nor undesirable. So when this object come to contact with the six senses, or one object come to contact with one senses, then feeling immediately arises and feels. If that object is agreeable, then feeling immediately feels that agreeable aspect of the object. For example, eye come to contact with beautiful woman, whether the eye from a man or from the woman, since the object is beautiful woman, so the feeling, pleasant feeling, immediately arises and feel that desirable aspect of that beauty. Okay, so at this moment, we are instructed wording, right? We have been instructed by the teacher, by the teaching of the Buddha. Immediately we should know, oh, pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Make a mark first. Make a note first. And this note is called sati, mindfulness. If we don't arouse the mindfulness, immediately pleasant feeling arise, it will be followed by craving. And if we are unable to aware of that mental state, the craving has arisen in me and craving, mind affected by craving, as mind affected by craving, and contemplate impermanent of that craving, then the action will follow that craving. So one time we lose mindfulness and contemplation, we create fresh karma. If 100 times in a day we lose our mindfulness and contemplation, then we accumulate 100 times karma. Karmic formation is also called fabrication. And each fabrication fabricated things. What are fabricated thing? 5 aggregate. So each karma fabricate 5 aggregate. So 100 times in a day, we perform 100 times of karma, then this karmic formation fabricate 100 times new 5 aggregate in the future, waiting for condition to ripen, to produce new life. Therefore, samsara is very long, right? Because in a day, we accumulate karma owing to craving or owing to mental state or aversion or ignorance or jealousy and so on. So we accumulate in a day, we accumulate so many karma which pave way for future rebirth. That's endless 5 aggregate waiting in the future to ripen. Why? Simply because we lose mindfulness and we do not contemplate impermanence of that mental state. Therefore, we give in to action, verbally or physically. Therefore, contemplation of Dhamma is your refuge. It's your refuge. Teacher is not your refuge. Student is also not my refuge. Contemplation on Dhamma is your refuge. Contemplation on impermanent, on suffering or non-self. Every time you arouse your mindfulness and contemplation, you cut the chain of dependent origination, and the feeling cannot condition craving, and craving cannot condition clinging, and clinging cannot condition becoming, and becoming cannot condition birth. When there's no birth, there's no aging, sickness, death, lamentation, pain and despair. Thus ceases the whole mess of suffering. Now this is how we can work on it. And Buddha have given us the way. Right? So we have to walk the way if we want to bring the end of suffering. Okay. And now I would like to quote one sutta from from Vedana Samyutta. Sutta number 6. Sutta number 6, yes. When a uninstructed worldling, he has no knowledge of the Dhamma. So when he feels a physical unpleasant feeling of there is sickness, a pain in the body, since he's uninstructed worldling, he did not know the Dhamma, he doesn't know this feeling is not self. He does not understand this feeling is impermanent. He does not understand this feeling is conditionally arisen. Then, so when he feel an unpleasant physical feeling, then he sorrows, grieves. He feels painful mentally as well. So at this moment, he feels two types of feelings, physically and mentally. So when he feels these two types of unpleasant feeling, both physically and mentally, then the underlying tendency of aversion lie behind with these two unpleasant feelings. Therefore, he harbors anger. He harbors aversion. And yet, he did not know how to contemplate the mind affected by aversion as the mind affected by aversion. He does not know how to contemplate impermanent of this aversion. Then how is he going to deal with his aversion? How?
Action.
Action, yes. So to avert this, or to escape or avert this type of aversion, then he will seek delight in sensual pleasure. Sometimes somebody can act, scold people, throw the anger to other people, or physically beat someone, and so on. If they are not violent people, then to avert or to escape from this both mental, physical and mental unpleasant feeling, he will indulge in sensual pleasures. He seeks delight in sensual pleasures. So he will first switch on television, switch on movie, and keep on watching movie 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, continuously, and become addicted. For someone, he will indulge in alcohol and make himself drunk. When you're drunk, you forget everything, right? It's very peaceful. So forget everything and drunk. When you get up, then problem not yet solved. Okay, or for somebody, he will keep on eating, eat, keep on eating. And for somebody, he will indulge in sex. He go around with women. So he seeks delight in sensual pleasures in order to escape from this unpleasant feeling, both mentally and physically. And when he seeks delight in sensual pleasures, then the underlying tendency of lust is developed in him, right? So previously he developed anger in him, but he doesn't know how to solve that anger. So now he seeks delight in sensual pleasures. Then he developed the underlying tendency of lust. And Buddha said, he doesn't understand as it really is the origin and the passing away. The origin and the passing away of his anger or lust or unpleasant feeling. And the gratification, the danger and the escape in the case of these situations. Let me repeat. Buddha say he doesn't understand as it really is the origin including the causes for its arising. Arising itself and the causes for its arising. So he does not understand as it really is the origin and the passing away. He doesn't understand this unpleasant feeling will pass away as well. Aversion will pass away as well, and so on. And the gratification, what he enjoys in this sensual pleasures is the gratification. But when you enjoy more and more sensual pleasures, will it be the danger in enjoyment or in indulgence? Any danger in it or not? What's the danger, Stephen?
The danger is to think.
Hmm?
The danger is to indulge.
Yeah.
Why is that dangerous?
Yes. You're being bound by that sensual pleasures. And you just like you're trapped in the enjoyment of sensual pleasures and become addicted. Once you become addicted, you cannot escape from that addiction. This is the dangers, right? And the escape, Because this person, he does not understand the danger and he does not understand the escape. What is the escape? We understand the escape. So what is the escape? Sati. Sati and?
Sampajanya.
Yeah, sati and sampajanya. Sati and panya. Mindfulness and wisdom. I have shared with you from the first talk until now. I hope you can answer me. If you cannot answer me, I just don't know what to talk already. So sati sampajanya. Huh? Mindfulness. What's the escape? First, arouse your mindfulness. Secondly, contemplate impermanent. This is the escape. It's the only escape, right? And I would like to share with you how I escape. How I escape from my unpleasant feeling, right? Although not every time I succeed, but at that time I really succeed. If every time I succeed, I think I have become arahant already, right? Not every time I succeed, because some are very deep-rooted. There was a time I was in Sri Lanka, and my teacher flew to Sri Lanka to go for his retreat. And at that time, because my teacher is Burmese and the Sri Lankan food is not agreeable with him, the moment I heard about this news, I feel that since my teacher, he has been teaching people for so many years, sacrificed his time for the welfare and benefit for other people. Now, since he can let go of his teaching, me as a student, I feel my responsibility. Of course, it's not only my responsibility, all his students' responsibility. But because of my respect and love for my teacher, I also flew to Sri Lanka just to cook for him, although I hate cooking. Sometimes we do for the welfare of other people, we don't think of ourselves, right? We just want to fulfill his need to us. Whether I like it, I don't not like it, it doesn't matter. I just want to make my teacher support him only. So at that time, at that place I never been before, and it's so primitive, so poor and so primitive. And there's no kitchen, no proper kitchen, no basin to wash plate, and no water. Every day we have to carry water with hand, not with car. Not with car, with bow hand carry. And at that time I was very weak, extremely weak, having been practicing so many years in Burma, right? Not enough nutrition, I think. And plus all this extra work, I feel so exhausted, extremely exhausted. And there's something happened in my eyes, my ear were blocked, and all the pressure on my head, I cannot hear. So under such circumstances, and now I have so much unpleasant feeling mentally, physically also. Physically, it already reached to the limitation of my limitation, and mentally also affected. So at this time, I don't know how to deal with my unpleasant feeling, except arouse my mindfulness, face to face with my unpleasant feeling. So I take that unpleasant feeling as the object of observation, then I watch it. I think before I can say impermanent, when I watch it, this unpleasant feeling, mentally unpleasant feeling, not physical, mental unpleasant feeling, immediately arising and passing away, very, very fast, very, very fast, until towards the end, I cannot see feeling anymore, only perception of arising and passing away. Then after that, I also don't know how long it lasts. Then the mind completely come to equanimity. After the equanimity, the mind reviewing knowledge, review to the experience, and the reviewing knowledge will tell us. When it's arising and passing away, that arising appears to be unsatisfactory, suffering. Then the ceasing, peace. However, it does not cease. It does not cease there. It re-arises. It's called origin, because why it arises again? Why the formation does not cease there, but re-arises? For what reason? Because the force, the ignorance and craving are not yet completely uprooted yet. The ignorance and craving are not completely uprooted yet, therefore it re-arises. That feeling re-arises again. When it re-arises, then the mind feels unsatisfactory, suffering, danger, disease, like boy, like cancer, right? Then it ceases, the mind feels peace, at peace, bliss, and happiness. But however it re-arises, ceases, re-arises, ceases, re-arises, and ceases endlessly. And at that time, you only feel oppression. Being oppressed by constant arising and suffering. Then finally, the mind come to equanimity. So after this, so happened after 3 days, I go and check Visuddhimagga and find out my experience is mentioned in the Visuddhimagga. At that time, Visuddhimagga say, at that state, whatever you see, you only see suffering arising. The arising is danger, arising is insecure, arising is like murderer and so on. The ceasing is peace, ceasing is secure and so on. So the Visuddhimagga explained what I have experienced. And at that moment, I think at that moment, the mind go through different stages of insight knowledge. From the insight, from number 4th, insight of arising and passing away, to number 5th, number 6th, number 7th, insight of danger, insight of disenchanted, and finally reach the insight of equanimity. So this is the escape. When you feel unpleasant feeling physically, and if you feel mentally affected, then you experience both unpleasant feeling. And it causes aversion to arise. And if you do not understand the way to escape from it, then one will indulge in sensual pleasures and cause a lying tendency of lust to develop in him. And if he does not understand the origin and passing away, the gratification, the danger in this indulgence, and the escape from it, then the lying tendency of ignorance is lie behind it. Therefore, one moment when there's unpleasant feeling arise in you, in earth, if we do not know how to deal with them, we develop lying, latent tendency of aversion, lust, and ignorance. One moment of not knowing, one moment of losing mindfulness, we develop 3 poison states of the mind: aversion, greed, and delusion. So, therefore, Buddha say, make mindfulness your refuge. Make yourself your island. Make yourself an island. And this island is mindfulness and wisdom. Mindfulness alone cannot lead to liberation. Mindfulness plus wisdom or sampajanya, clear comprehension. This is called your island, your refuge. Okay. And this person, if he does not know the way to escape, then whatever feeling, when he feels unpleasant feeling, he feels it attached. When he feels pleasant feeling, he feels it attached. When he feels neither pleasant nor unpleasant, he feels it attached. So, this bhikkhu is called an uninstructed worthing who is attached to birth, aging and death, who is attached to sorrow, lamentation, pain and despair, and who attached to suffering. So if we do not apply the technique we have learned, mindfulness and sampajanya or wisdom, we attach to whatever arises in us, then we are not free from aging, sickness and death. And Buddha said, we are the one who attach to suffering. Okay. Therefore, have to remind, I think most of you get the technique already. It's just that sometimes the mindfulness is not sharp enough. The mindfulness is always slow to know, right? When mindfulness is slow, then we suffer. At that moment, we suffer. But when mindfulness come back, then we find a refuge. Okay. So then later on, we apply seeing impermanent, 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 and we see it's arising and passing away, arising and passing away, arising and passing away, continuously, that repeated arising and passing away give the yogi a sense of unsatisfactory, or called dukkha. So in the teaching of the Buddha, it's very difficult to experience this dukkha. It's very easy to experience impermanence, very easy to experience non-self, but it's very difficult to experience dukkha. Why? Because you can experience dukkha only when you reach the fast arising and passing away continuously. Before you reach this stage, you will never understand what Buddha said, dukkha. And it's also, according to Lady Xiaodo, it is because not understanding dukkha deeply, then the path is divided into four. Stream enterer path. Second one, non-returner, once returner path, sakadagami. The third one, non-returner path, anagami. Anagami maga. The last one, arahan path, arahan maga. Otherwise, direct go to arahan. Why divided into four? According to Lady Xiaodo, because one's experience of dukkha is different. Some experience it in very shallow level. So they become stream enterer. They have seven lives to enjoy. Right? Because his understanding of dukkha is very shallow. And if you experience more dukkha, then you become once returner, you come to this world twice, because you have enough. You don't want to come so many times. It's a dukkha for you, it's a suffering for you. You don't want to come to this world, so you come back two times. And if you experience the dukkha even more deeply, then non-returner. You don't come to this world anymore. This world is a world of suffering. You don't want to come back to this world. But you still have attachment to Brahma world. Brahma world has no suffering, no physical and mental suffering, only live in the jhana. And if you understand dukkha very deeply up to the root, then you attain arahant. No need to say come to this world, not even Brahma world. You don't want to come back. You don't want to have any five aggregate anymore. Then you attain up to arahantship. Therefore, but in order to experience this dukkha, you've got to experience impermanent first. Anicca sanya, perception of impermanent. Therefore, to experience impermanent fast arising and passing away is set, the gate to Nibbana, the gate to Nibbana. Without experience, this arising and passing, fast arising and passing away, you cannot understand dukkha, you cannot understand non-self. Then you may ask, what when experience this arising, fast arising and passing away, what to do with non-self? What is it to do with non-self? Okay. Let us understand the meaning of non-self first. There are three meanings of non-self. The first one is called asaraka tena anatta. Asaraka tena, saraka means substance. Asaraka tena anatta means without substance. It's called anatta. The second meaning of anatta is asamika tena. Samika, we all know, Samika. What's the meaning of Samika? Teacher, Pali teacher?
I don't know.
Samika is the owner of the house, right? So the owner, you find this mind and body, you do not find the owner of the mind and body, you cannot find. Right? It's only five aggregate arising, dependent on causes, and arise and pass away constantly. So you cannot find the owner in this mind and body. Therefore, it's called asamika tena anatta. Samika means owner. Asamika, no owner. Okay, by way, no owner. The third one, avasa watana tena anatta. Not yielding to one's wishes. Yielding. Correct or not? I got to ask Jonathan to correct my pronunciation. Not yield to one's wishes. It's called avasavatana tena anatta. In the discourse of non-self, the characteristic of non-self, anatta nakana sutta. Buddha say, body is not self, form is not self. If form were self, then form will listen to you, will yield to your wishes. Let my form be dust. Let my sitting 3 hours, no pain. But your experience tell you, form does not listen to me. I do want the pain come for up 3 hours, it come 10 minutes, as far as faster than I expected. So from this experience, then you know, form does not yield to my wishes. Therefore, it's called avasa watana tena. Or in a day, you wish that may I have pleasant feeling throughout the day. But when the moment people bang the door, unpleasant feeling arise followed by anger so fast. So even though you wish you have pleasant feeling throughout the day, no, it does not yield to your wishes, right? One external impingement can cause unpleasant feeling, anger to arise. Therefore, all this mind and body, whatever arises in mind and body, is called avasa watana tena anatta. It does not yield to one's wishes. So, when a person experiences fast arising and passing away, and being oppressed by constant arising and passing away is unsatisfactory. It's undesirable, unwished for. And Buddha constantly said, what is impermanent, subject to change, is suffering. And what's impermanent, suffering, cannot be regarded as self, as having substance, as yield to your wishes, or as having the ownership. Therefore, when you understand anicca, you understand dukkha. When you understand dukkha, you understand anatta. When you understand one, you understand the other three. Okay? And when you keep when you see the feeling, constant arise and pass away, arising and pass away, arising and pass away, then you know you have no control over the whole process. And you also lose the perception of feeling, just perception of arising and passing away. then you have no control over the process of arising and passing away. Then the mind will let go of that attachment. How can you attach to things keep on arising and passing away? Right? We only attach to thing which is you can grasp with. Then we attach to it. If something you cannot grasp it, we cannot attach to it. Or when something is not pleasant, we cannot attach to it. When something appears to us as permanent, we can grasp it. And something is lasting, permanent happiness, then we grasp it. When something is keep on arising and passing away, you just feel powerless. You cannot grasp it at all. Therefore, the mind gets very disenchanted. When the mind gets disenchanted, the mind becomes dispassionate. When the mind becomes dispassionate, the mind is liberated. Liberated from what? From what?
Future five aggregate. Future save, future karmic.
Liberated from attachment. Not liberated from five aggregate, because we still have five aggregate. Liberated from attachment to the five aggregate. Okay. So this is the way. This is the way how to deal with. Just now I only mentioned unpleasant feeling. Then pleasant feeling is the same. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant, also same. Same way of dealing with these three types of feelings. Okay. So now the last question. Do you prefer having feeling to feel the pleasant? Do you think having feeling to feel the pleasant things, pleasant of six objects, is better or than no feeling at all? Suki?
Pleasant.
Pleasant. Huh? We prefer have pleasant feeling so that we can, you know, we can feel the pleasant aspect of visible form. Pleasant aspect of visible object or sound or taste and so on, right? However, Nibbana has no feeling. Everybody work to achieve Nibbana. Don't get disappointed when you reach the Nibbana, no feeling. No feeling. It's not what I expected. Bliss, happiness, joy. No feeling to feel the peace, the happiness and bliss. Then how can Nibbana be peaceful? Stephen, you have good knowledge. How can Nibbana be peaceful?
Maybe because you don't want to feel anything. You have no desire to feel anything.
Still have one. Still have I inside the Nibbana?
Sorry?
Still have I and self inside the Nibbana?
No, there's nothing. nothing to feel anything.
Nothing to feel anything. How can it be peaceful? Okay, so one day a monk asked Venerable Sariputta, "You may realize that I often quote Sariputta because I admire his great wisdom, and Buddha's great wisdom is too far for me." Okay, so one day a monk asked Venerable Sariputta, Is Nibbana peaceful or not? Then Venerable said, yes. Then is any feeling in the Nibbana? Then Venerable Sariputta said, no feeling. Then he asked, if there's no feeling, how can it be peaceful? Right? Then Venerable Sariputta said, precisely because there's no feeling, it is peaceful. Precisely because it's no feeling, it's peaceful. Why? Because whatever you feel is included in suffering. This is a very famous utterance in the teaching of the Buddha. Whatever you feel is included in suffering. Why? Why?
Because it's impermanent. Feeling
yes,
impermanent.
Exactly. Because all feelings are impermanent, right? All feelings are impermanent. Whatever, because it's impermanent, is suffering. So whatever you feel is included in suffering. And when there's no feeling, precisely because there's no feeling, there's no passing away. There's no arising. Arising is suffering, right? Because there's no feeling, there's no arising, there's no ceasing. No arising and ceasing, this is the peace. This is the bliss. This is the Nibbana. Non-arising and non-ceasing is the peace. I wish you achieve this peace in this very life. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, any question?
One question, sir.
Okay.
So is it the case that if we accumulate the karma by not being mindful, do we cut the karmic samsaric life short by arousing mindfulness? So for every moment of mindfulness, are we also cutting
the attachment?
Cutting the life in samsara shorter?
Yes, yes. Yes. Vipassana cut short the samsara short. Any question?
It might be too much for to ask, but you didn't mention much about the neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Anything really important in there, or is it just one of those?
Why I do not mention neither pleasant nor unpleasant? Because it's not clear, not very obvious. But in the jhana, fourth jhana, you know, it's neither pleasant nor unpleasant. It's something like equanimity. It is very pleasant as well, compared with the compared with the happiness. That equanimity is very pleasant. But since no one reached the jhana, so I think I don't want to mention it. Okay, no.
So an arahant is like, as he's moving through, you know, his five aggregates are coming in contact. Pleasant or feelings are arising for him. So obviously he feels the feeling feels the pleasant and unpleasant aspects of the objects that are impinging his senses. So, and he's obviously not reacting to those feelings with craving, but he's still experiencing feeling. But he's not suffering from the feeling. But you're saying, but only when his mind is taking Nibbana as an object, there's no feeling because there's no five aggregates. But his five aggregates are still existing. It's just his mind, his mind is taking Nibbana as the object, therefore the feeling isn't arising then. Is that right? Is it because the object is Nibbana at that time?
The object is Nibbana. Nibbana has no nothing. No nama rupa.
So when his mind comes, when the conscious,
I think we better go and find Arahant and ask him better. He can give more precise answer than I can give, right? What I can give you is only from based on the sutta. I also not experience Arahant state. So we better find an Arahant and ask him, okay? Don't ask me. I don't want to mislead you in case I answer wrongly, right?
So who should we ask?
Arahant. Why an Arahant? So to me, if I not reach that stage, I forget it first, right?
So suppose, you know, we do see suffering. Even with the thoughts comes and goes, it's unpleasant.
Yes. Yeah.
And or we do see there is no really self there. But doesn't mean mindfulness comes automatically. We still have to practice.
Yes, of course, of course. I was told that, I forgot, is it correct or not? I was told that only Sotapan has 25% of mindfulness. Sakadagami got 50%. Anagami got 75%. Arahant got 100%. And we are ordinary person, maybe 10%.
I feel much better.
So you don't feel bad.
So
if we have 10 to 25, is I think happy enough, right? We cannot have 100% mindfulness. This arahant state of mind. But effort strenuous effort, persistent effort, constant effort can sharpen your mindfulness. Always remember, mindful, mindful, mindful. Always ask your mind to be mindful at what's happening now. That reminder and plus constant effort to be mindful definitely will help. Will increase the mindfulness more and more. Jonathan, no question. Fully digest.
I'm just glad that you you covered some of the pleasant feelings as well today. Mm-hmm. I was filled with those this morning while walking and noting that they were going to pass, but that was that process was much more pleasant, I noticed, than noting that the pain was going to release.
You just dislike pain.
So, no equanimity.
It's okay, just ignore the pain, no problem, right? It's not necessary to go through all the pain if you can force your mind to go back to breath.
Okay. Is it okay to be disenchanted toward Piti Sukha also? I feel like I don't even...
That also impermanent. Now you feel disenchanted towards Piti Sukha, yes, only at this moment. Later on you may need it, you know? Sometimes Piti Sukha is also helpful because if you always get disenchanted or always feel suffering, then life becomes very difficult. Okay. Right. Really, really very difficult because so empty, right? Mm-hmm. So at that time you need some Piti Sukha. Otherwise you may end up commit suicide.
What is Piti Sukha?
Piti Sukha means rupture and happiness. You know, in the process of practicing, you know, because we see a lot of suffering, disenchantment, and if we cannot deal with it, then it may turn up to a little bit depression. Mm-hmm. Therefore, pity, rupture, and happiness is also important to sustain your spiritual path. Otherwise, you know, the mind will tend to negativity if you are not mindful. Okay, I think I have shared all what I should share in this retreat. Doesn't mean that I have shared all my knowledge. Huh? I only share because I intended to teach Anapanasati, four elements, mindfulness of feeling, and mindfulness of mind. And I have done what I should share with. Although this last one, Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana, contemplation on Dhamma, until now, I have no time. It takes very long to share. But this contemplation of Anapanasati, four elements, contemplation on feeling, contemplation of mind, I think this is enough for you to make progress in the path. But lastly, finally, when you reach, when you see the suffering state of the mind, or see a fast arising and passing away of whatever object you observed, whether it's body pain or mental feeling or mental state, you have to relate it to Four Noble Truths. No? Four Noble Truths. Because whatever arising, passing away is a truth of suffering. So you relate it to the Four Noble Truths. And what's the origin of suffering? Craving. You will see, because of craving. So you understand the truth of suffering, you will understand the origin of the suffering. And you know the path. What's the path? There's constantly, we call samatha and vipassana, or constantly mindful of impermanent suffering and non-self, of whatever arising in the mind and body, is the Noble Eightfold Path. Then finally you reach the end, is the destruction of all craving to the five aggregate internally and externally. This is the Nirodha Satya, cessation. So when you reach the stream enterer, you must understand the Four Noble Truths well. Okay. And this Four Noble Truths is under Dhamma Nupassana, Satipatthana, contemplation on Dhamma. Okay, so I have shared, what should I share? No more Dhamma talk to be shared. So this is my last talk. Thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.